Another one that we have going on is a solid waste survey, and it's the clock's kind of winding down on it. We've got about six more days. It'll expire on June 30th. Now, this is the one where what we're really interested in is trying to get the community's input on what sort of solid waste services they want.
Sure.
The city of Bartlesville implemented a polycart system, oh my gosh, what we're talking 8 to 10 years ago now. And at that time, one of the discussions was what other services were the citizens interested in. Those were all kind of put on the table until we could get the polycart system lined out. Now we've circled back around. The survey has a lot of questions. Primarily, the one that I know a lot of people are interested in is recycling.
Yes.
That's very split opinions in our community. But really what we're interested in is what services do the citizens want? And then the second key ingredient to that is what services are they willing to pay for? Because everything has a cost. Even recycling, we'd like to believe that it pays for itself. Unfortunately, the citizens will have to subsidize that. But if the citizens are willing to pay for that, then that's something we're definitely interested in knowing. And the last one that's out there is actually a downtown parking survey. And since I have the city's engineering director here with me, I'll turn this one over to him so he can talk a little bit about it.
Parking, I tell you what, always draws an opinion one way or the other. There's nobody in between when it comes to parking issues.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of feedback we get on this. What we're really trying to do is assess whether there actually is an overall issue with the downtown parking, if there needs to be improvements with the setup of time limits, or if we need to go to some sort of metered system or something like that for portions of the downtown area. So really, I think that just went out. Actually, the first flyers went out last Thursday and the first round of utility bills.
The flyers will appear in your next utility bill.
They should, yeah. They'll be coming out in your next utility bill. So some of you may have already received that. There also is already the online survey is already set up. I think we've got something out on that in CityBeat as well. So that link should be out there. Apologize, I don't have the link on me, off the top of my head.
CityOfBartlesville.org, either the sanitation survey or for the downtown parking survey, there'll be information out there. All of the links should be on our website.
Yeah.
And as Micah mentioned, one of the things that we have is CityBeat, which is a great place to get this kind of information. And CityBeat, if anyone is interested in it who's not signed up, it is on the cityofbartlesville.org, so www.cityofbartlesville.org, and then on the right side they can sign up for that, and they'll get all of this information that we talk about every couple of weeks. They'll get it delivered weekly in their inbox, all the goings-on in the city.
Right. But kind of to go a little bit further on that, so we are looking for feedback on that. I think a while back, really what brought this up, I think a chamber had actually wanted to take a look at the downtown parking issues based on some complaints they maybe had from one of the vendors. And so the city essentially, that was handed to us to try to
we see stepped if there was in to see what the issue really was.
And honestly, we may find out that there's overall not a major issue, but we may find out that there are in fact some changes that need to be made. And so we'll be, we've got the street and traffic committee are the ones who are facilitating that. So we'll start off with the survey, and then based on the feedback that we get, the results that we get, we will likely have some sort of public meeting after that, depending on where things come in, to get some fine-tuned feedback, if you will, based off that survey. And then we'll ultimately come to council with a recommendation if any changes or revisions need to be made. We'll work on a solution for that as well. So.
And the survey really is a necessary first step because, as we found, the chamber did a brief survey. And then we held a public meeting and we presented to the public and took some questions.
Right.
What was interesting to, I think, all of us, and we expected it to some degree, was that there was very little agreement on what the problem was.
Right.
And so it was interesting to hear the differing opinions that some people, it's a problem if I can't park in front of the store that I'm going to.
Sure.
And that's really hard to solve.
It's difficult to solve
if it's a popular store.
Right.
Then the other problem was, and then for other people it was if I'm within a half a block or if I'm within two blocks. So everybody had a different opinion as to what exactly constituted a parking problem.
There you go.
So we really have to get some sort of picture as to what do we consider to be a problem.
And we had gone through this, I forget when the last one was, Terry Lawrence can tell you.
We have done this several times.
We've done it several times.
Yes, sir.
But the last one they actually did go, and it was the same committee went through it, and they actually did basically determine that, there really wasn't a general consensus on what one problem there is.
That's right.
It's just kind of a broad spectrum of complaints, if you will. And so there really was no good solution for it. So they basically voted to to leave it as is.
With
the solutions on a case-by-case basis.
Yep, I think that was what the decision was last time, so.
But we'll see.
Hopefully we'll get a little more clarity out of this.
I hope so.
You guys are doing a good job. I know you met several times already.
And you're listening to City Matters right here on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3. I'm Tom Davis along with Mike Bailey, the city manager. And what else we have on the table today?
Well, we actually have several things, but before we jump too far into this, we have a special guest with us here today. We have somebody who is shadowing the engineering department. And she is absolutely mortified at this moment because I've called her out. come on up here to the microphone.
Yes.
So tell everybody what your name is.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
this is Olivia Bailey. And actually, this is my daughter who has an interest in... she's shaking her head. She didn't want me to tell everybody that she was my daughter, apparently.
Oh.
I don't blame her. It's okay. These guys don't want to do that to me, don't worry. These guys don't want to claim me either, but she has an interest in engineering and architecture, and so she's shadowing our city engineers here for a little bit, and I was bringing Micah onto the radio, and so he brought her. Olivia, what?
Asked what she wanted or she was looking for. She said, well, I just want to see your day today. I said, well, today that means radio. So come on, let's go.
Hop in the car, we're going.
So here we are. So interest in architecture and engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you leaning to so far?
Well, right now, probably civil.
Civil?
Yeah.
Okay. So you are, and you're saying that because, did I just kill that microphone?
No, you're fine.
Okay. And you're saying that because the city engineer is sitting next to you.
That nod of the head says it all. It's in the affirmative.
So I promised I was going to make her speak, and I have, and I'll let her go back to her stool so she can quit staring at me. But it's a great opportunity for students to be able to see the career that they're interested in. So we've hosted a number of interns over the years. This is nothing quite as formal as that, but we wanted to spend a few minutes and let her see what we really do.
I would like to mention that if anybody is interested in urban planning as a future, we kind of get overlooked, but I'd be happy to have a
shout. You'd love to have an intern, wouldn't you?
I would. It's a great job.
You just had an intern.
Yeah.
Well,
I
want to make a shadow. Okay. She wants to be a shadow. All right. One of the things that we go through every year, now that I've gotten that out of the way, and I've embarrassed my daughter, which is sort of a daily occasion.
Oh, dinner's going to be fun tonight, Mike.
Yeah,
dinner's going to be fun.
This was good. The red is starting to fade from her cheeks. But probably one of the most important things that the city of Bartlesville or the city council does is the adoption of the city's budget every year. And so we finished this process. Jason, when did we adopt the budget?
We adopted the budget the first Monday in June.
First Monday in June. So, and that's about typical for us. It has to be adopted before June. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think it's June 20th by state law.
Yeah, for so many days.
Our fiscal year ends June 30th. So those are really, it is a critical document in that the city council essentially is adopting a policy for the city. And then it is up to the city staff to spend the next year executing that. So I had Jason on so that we could talk a little bit about the budget process and some of the numbers that are in there, and then we'll spend a few minutes towards the end kind of talk about some of the new ideas that are in the budget here for the first time. So, and with that, I will turn it over to Jason Munninger, our CFO.
Well, boss, as you know, as well as anybody, what a lengthy and time-consuming process the budget adoption is.
When do you start working?
We typically
on the
start from the accounting and finance perspective late January, early February.
There you go. It's close to a 6-month process.
It really is.
Get it in shape.
It really is. Starting with projections, estimates. Obviously, the way we work into it is we figure out what we estimate our revenues to be, and then we factor in the expenditures to match.
Right.
To make sure that our budget is balanced year in and year out. That process. It begins as an internal process, but we also use from an expenditure standpoint, external process. We utilize a citizen input, and then through various committees that we have as far as operating committees, street and traffic we mentioned earlier. I know we have transportation committee, golf course operating committee. We take input from these committees, as to how we're going to kind of focus our needs for the upcoming years, whether they be capital needs or maintenance and repair items, kind of use that to structure some of the framework, give us an idea of what direction we're going to head going into the next year, as well as our directors who know, you know, what their specific department's going to need for the upcoming year and what is their major role going to be, where their focus is going to be, I guess is a better way to say it. Just like probably most any company, our major expenditures, personnel, eats up about 80% of our budget.
It does.
So it leaves us 20% to operate on. So we'll kind of start through this process. You know, we'll estimate revenues early February to March, start preparing packets for the directors to fill out to, you know, figure out where they're going to end their current fiscal year and what they think they're going to need to make it through the next budget year. Compile all that together. We never balance to zero. There's always far far more wants than there are resources.
Once we put all the directors' requests in, for some reason, we always have more requests than we have money.
Usually to $1 million to $2 million more in requests.
That's when the fun starts, and we have to start reducing budgets.
Yeah, so yeah, it's just kind of a procedure of what's justified and what's not justified. So you, myself, we'll sit down with these directors and have them, you know, justify their request. I'd say our directors have gotten a lot better the last couple of years of keeping their requests pretty reasonable.
It's been much easier.
Yeah, it really has. So the amount of cutting we have to do has been minimal the last 2 to 3 years. But revenues haven't been terrible the last 2 to 3 years either.
That also helps when we have a little bit of growth in sales tax. And so ultimately the budget is adopted by the city council, but it goes through a number of steps before it reaches them. So what we want everybody to know is that the budget is developed over a period of time, but it's developed with the input of the citizens, it's developed with the input of the committees, and ultimately it is adopted by the city council. And we have a workshop where the entire budget is laid out. The public, of course, is welcome to attend and has an opportunity to speak. From that workshop, then, we actually go into that first meeting in June, and we have a public hearing that night. And so, again, the public also has an opportunity to speak that night. And it's not until after that that the council actually adopts the budget. But it is a very inclusive process that involves a lot of people. Probably the most important component of the budget is in the general fund. And in the general fund, when people are thinking of that, what all is included in the general fund as far as activities?
Well, the general fund typically houses your public safety, number one, police and fire.
That's our
biggest
one.
Which are the two largest departments within the city from the general fund perspective. And then, of course, you have just your general everyday government, streets, parks, accounting and finance. You have sports services administration, urban planning.
There was a whisper from the corner there.
Neighborhood services, which involves our code enforcement side.
Mm-hmm.
Library, history museum, anything that would be general government activities. Mm-hmm. It's all encompassed in the general fund.
And so really, for most people, just about everything that the city does that is not related to a utility is done out of the general fund. So exactly. All of our ordinary operations are conducted out of there with the exception of water, wastewater, and sanitation, and they have their own fund. So what, just for people to have kind of an idea of the size of this, what's the scope, what's the dollar amount, the total dollar amount in the general fund about?
The appropriation going to next year, not including reserves, is $24.4 million for the general fund.
So this is a pretty substantial budget.
It's pretty large.
But again, this is a city of 36,000 people. Mm-hmm. We have, I believe Keith Henry told me, we had 300 center lane miles. Is that correct, Micah?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, I like asking Micah questions that he's not prepared for. He just kind of nodded and said, yeah, that sounds right. But,
sure.
But that's not lane miles, that's center lane miles. Right. So, and those are the roads that we maintain. We have four different fire districts. We currently only have one police station, but the chief is looking to add a substation on the east side. So this is a substantial operation. Obviously most of that is funded by sales tax. So how's sales tax been doing over the last, well, say 12 months going into this next fiscal year?
Sales tax has done surprisingly well. I mean, we talk about it at least once a month.
Yep.
There's been no month that just was really over and above what I would call it, you know, a large, large
yeah,
increase.
Yeah, there's no real
shock. It's been pretty
months.
Steady. I will say June finished a lot better than I had anticipated, with almost an 8% change, which
fact,
would be
that
the
was
largest
one of
percent
our,
increase.
Yeah, that was for the fiscal year. That was our biggest percent increase.
Yeah,
was
so,
that.
I mean, we finished the year off well. We're pretty steady throughout the year.
Over about a 2.5% increase for the year, if I remember
actually,
right.
Overall was 3%.
3%?
On the year.
Well, that's good news. So that helps us going into the next fiscal year, which helps those decisions as well on what has to be.
It makes it
removed.
Easier. Makes yeah. it easier.
So now it was a relatively ordinary budget. We did change, or we did introduce a couple of new concepts, and one of them came from the police department. Our new police chief who got here, oh my gosh, did he get here in October? I think.
I believe it was somewhere around there, yes.
Hired Tracy. He came in, did an evaluation, looked at our community as a whole, looked at the types of crimes we're experiencing, what our crime rate is, and he wasn't satisfied with what our crime rate was. And he believed that Bartlesville could do better and should do better. And so his focus was on the areas of crime that we saw most commonly, and most of those were property crimes that occur in the neighborhoods. His second focus was, when he very first got here, he went to a lot of neighborhood meetings, and the one thing that he heard over and over is that people are concerned about speeding in their neighborhoods. We don't have the staff to handle that. We really don't. Our guys, we typically have anywhere between 5 and 6 officers on patrol in any given time. So if you have a wreck and you have 2 officers working it, you're down to 3 to 4 to handle everything that's happening mm-hmm. at any given time. So what he wanted was to actually set up a neighborhood traffic control. And the neighborhood traffic control is comprised of 2 officers that we're adding this year. They're expected to pay for themselves through traffic enforcement in the neighborhoods. But again, the focus is in the neighborhoods, so it's twofold. It is to provide that neighborhood traffic control that we've heard is a demand from our citizens. But the other thing is that the chief and other police departments have found that the more officers you have in the neighborhoods, the less crime that occur in those neighborhoods, which is where all property crimes are occurring. So we did add 2 officers to create this this traffic neighborhood traffic enforcement or neighborhood. He hasn't named the unit yet, but that, it will be something of that
it's
nature.
It's that new.
A crime, yeah, it is that new. We haven't even hired the guys yet. So it's essentially a neighborhood crime deterrent unit is what the intent of it is. So that was one new concept this year. Additionally, we introduced a contest, and it's not a big deal. It has a budget of about $5,000. Mm-hmm. But the point of it is to get our employees engaged. They're on the front lines. They're in the ditches. They know what's going on in the city, and they have ideas that, frankly, they probably haven't shared, maybe because they've never been asked or they didn't feel like they could share. So we've created an idea contest. It's pretty common in business. It's very uncommon in cities. So we're going to open this contest up. We'll be providing a very nice vacation to whoever wins it, and you know, the great news is we will reward one person, but we will probably receive 20 good ideas. So anyway, that's something that we're pretty excited about and are waiting till July to get that kicked off, but that's something that's up and coming and just a great way, we think, to engage our employees.
Very, very good. You're listening to City Matters here on K1. I'm Tom Davis. Mike Bailey is the city manager, and we have a cast of thousands today. What's up next on the agenda?
Well, I've brought Micah Seamers here, and Micah has been pretty busy. He is also our floodplain manager.
Yep.
And so, of course,
nothing floods in the this time of year. No,
no, oh, we haven't no, had any not with all the rain we've had at all. Yeah, exactly.
So, Mike has been pretty busy with that, and we now have FEMA in town, and thought Mike could spend a few minutes and kind of update on the status of the flood and also FEMA and what's going on with them.
Right. So, yeah, FEMA actually has had a number of teams. Actually, as we find out, you and me think FEMA is FEMA.
Yeah.
We have discovered that FEMA is not FEMA.
FEMA has many.
FEMA has a left arm,
cells, yeah,
a right arm,
left arm, right arm,
a couple of feet, and it's.
We've seen several of them.
It's hard to tell who's who. So that being said, they actually have been engaged now. They've been both on the, I guess, individual side. So for homeowners, property owners, things of that nature. Then also on the public side, for the county and the city, as far as any damages that we incurred as well, expenses we incurred. So. Mm-hmm. They actually have been in contact with property owners, with homeowners, to offer assistance, if you will. And basically what this is, though, as near as we can tell, and this is basically what we were telling people early on, is the only feedback we had was really this kind of has to just go through a process, right?
Yeah,
and it is through FEMA. It's through
takes
your insurance.
A little bit of time. Yep.
It will take time.
But if you have flood insurance, that's where you start.
That's correct. Start with your insurance policy and go from there. And then at that point, it's a process. Now, one of the things that we did here that was kind of eye-opening is, you know, if you do get a letter, if you have put in for some sort of fee or some sort of assistance, and you get rejected, you will get a rejection letter, but do not throw that away.
That's right.
Read the writing below the rejection, and there is a next step, typically. So you just need to follow the steps. Be sure and follow the steps and follow the process.
And that was something that was critical, is that they did not want people to give up because they got a rejection letter.
Correct.
Often you were rejected because one thing was wrong or
exactly.
You needed to change something. And they absolutely want you to continue in that process, because the moment you remove yourself... is when you're out of the process.
It could have been as simple as the address not matching, you know.
Not matching the mapping for Washington County.
So be sure and don't just see, you know, look, I've been rejected, I'm upset now.
That's right.
Look at it, because there is a next step typically on there.
And reach out to them.
And reach out to them for sure. So I think that's the biggest thing that I saw on that. We are actually going through the process now as well on the public side with the county, with Washington County Emergency Management. And assessing the damage, you know, on the public side, as far as you know, any roads, not a whole lot of roads in the city of Bartlesville, but the county's
dealing
with it.
We were pretty fortunate. The county had some significant damage to some of their roads.
Right, but we've got things like Pathfinder. We got some washouts on Pathfinder. Staff time for emergency rescues and things like that. Those are all
a lot of rescues.
That we can account for and possibly get reimbursement down the road. So, but the biggest thing is, I think, for the individuals, and again, it's a process. It's frustrating. I know it, but keep working with FEMA, working with your insurance. We are still working on the substantial damage things on the city side. I've actually had a couple of individuals come in with revised estimates, construction estimates for their damages, and also revised appraisals of their properties. And it has actually gotten them below the threshold for being considered substantially damaged. And so those are good things. Keep following up on that stuff. But it is a process, and just hang in there.
And if you have any questions, we'll be glad to help where we can. But ultimately, this is typically most of the claims are going to go through your insurance and then on to FEMA. But our role was the substantial damage. So if you have a question on that, please call us. And if you have any other questions, please call engineering, and they'll try to guide you to the right person. Michael, what number should they call in your office?
Let's call 918-338-4251. That'll get Kim Toulouse. She's our admin assistant. And that way, if I'm out of the office or in and out, she can get that information to me.
All right, Michael, you got a minute and a half. What projects does everybody need to know about?
Well, we can probably talk for a minute and a half on the one that is on everybody's mind, I'm sure, is Price Road.
Let's talk about Price Road.
That thing is opened up.
I don't know
if anybody's noticed.
both sides, striping completed.
You know, it's funny. I haven't got any, hey, thanks, it's open. But I'm joking.
Is it ever going to be open?
We had a lot of upset people.
In fairness,
sure.
Most of those, is it ever going to be open?
Exactly.
From me and Lisa. So.
That's true. Good point. No, it actually is open up. Really, we have a little bit of wrap-up work to do, some sod, some cleanup on the edges. If you will, there's actually a driveway there at the old canteen. I guess it's the Mutual Boys and Girls Club now.
Yeah.
They are going to replace some cracked concrete on that driveway, and then they should be getting that one wrapped up. So glad to see that one going through. We've got lots of street projects, actually. The probably the biggest one that people are aware of now, too, is we have torn up 16th Street over by the high school. Concrete panel job, replace them. Broken up concrete.
A couple of months on that one.
It'll be open up before school's back
in
session.
That's always our goal.
So
down to our last 20 seconds. Anything you want to add, Mike?
I always appreciate the opportunity to come in here, and I thank these guys for their time. And Lisa Beeman did not get to speak, but she will next time.
All righty. Stay tuned. We've got CBS News next.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.
Is CBS News on the hour. Real news, real reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan. The U.S. is poised to hit Iran with a new round of sanctions. Tehran today predicted they'd have no impact. White House aide Kellyanne Conway says it's a step that has to be taken.
We can't disrupt global oil markets because of Iran. I mean, Iran attacked. They had a lot of aggressive actions just last week. Obviously, our drone over international space, but also attacking a Japanese tanker while the Prime Minister of Japan was in Iran.
Well, the Supreme Court has turned away an industry challenge to President Trump's steel tariffs, and it struck down a ban on trademarks containing what have been considered foul language or symbols. The high courts also decided to hear an Obamacare case.
The court has agreed to decide whether the federal government must pay insurers $12 billion under an Obamacare program aimed at encouraging them to cover previously uninsured people after the health care law was enacted. The justices will hear an appeal by a group of insurers in a lower court ruling that Congress had suspended the government's obligation to make the payments. The insurers argue that the ruling would allow the government to pull a bait and switch and withhold money that they were promised. Bill Rakoff, CBS News, Washington.
In Belgium, police say they've arrested a man suspected of plotting an attack on the U.S. Embassy in Brussels.